feel bad. I was right up here in front of everybody a couple of weeks ago, and I could not. I mean, I had Galatians 5:24 stuck in my brain, and I couldn't think for the life of me where this verse was at. So don't you feel funny at all. I always know I got Darlene to help me out. So, praise God. Are you comfortable? Good. I am too now. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. The last part of that verse simply says, let's just read from the beginning. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. This is a direct reference to the law now in Jesus. So he's saying the law no longer is how we relate to God. But he says, faith which worketh by love. Now that's a flat statement in context in reference to our relationship with God, now no longer through the law. But this statement is something that holds true throughout all of the new covenant. I want you to stand, if you would, this morning. Lay your Bibles down by your side. We're going to talk about faith working by love. But listen, I could stand up here and talk till the cows come home about the love of God and about mountain moving faith. And I could give you the best message that I could conjure up, and it would still fall way short, less than short, if we're not hooking up and asking God individually for a revelation. How many know truth revealed is what makes the difference? Not just truth. There's all kinds of truth. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's the truth that you know. And this know is a knowledge that is not just earthly knowledge. The book of Hebrews speaks directly to a group of people that had a mental reception and a mental consent to the idea of a Messiah, and they were being bended in that direction, but they were struggling. That's why the writer is urging and urging and urging. Don't quit. Press on. Don't cast your faith aside. Get clear on over into Jesus. Leave the old system behind. This is going to go up in flames, which it did in AD 70. This is going to go up in flames. Move forward into Jesus. He's pleading with them. Move forward. Don't give up. Isn't that something? And he is giving them, by the Spirit of God, the book of Hebrews is beautiful, a revelation of who our high priest is and his great love for us. How many know that truth, just truth alone, a list of concept, a message, doesn't change lives? But when we humbly, as children of God, come on, can we all over the room lift our hands? If you can't lift your hands, just in your heart lift your hands. I don't care. I'm not making you do anything. Lift our hands, and would you lift your heart and your eyes and your countenance, everything heavenward, and would you say with me, because I'm going to be praying this with you. Father, I ask you today. Come on, would you all over the room repeat with me? I ask you today for a fresh revelation of your love. I'm going to hear a lot of definitions. Go ahead and say it. I'm going to hear a lot of definitions, a lot of examples, a lot of scriptures, a lot of ideas. But I need more than that. Me and you, Jesus. Me and you, Father. I need a revelation from you. Say with me, I'm learning. Faith works by love. Mountain moving faith. Come on, say it. Mountain moving faith that's on the inside of me. It calls cancer to dry up, calls blood disease to aright, clears lungs up utterly, even as I'm talking right now, clears lungs up utterly and completely, supernaturally, right now, sets relationships in order. This kind of faith operates best in love, for faith works by love. Come on, one more time, all over the room. Heavenward, a revelation of love. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we receive it today in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Greet your neighbor one more time before you sit down. And let's open up our Bibles. Praise the Lord. How you doing, Daniel? Praise God. Anybody in here have an amplified Bible handy? I left mine at home. Can I borrow it from you? Are you using it right now in your study? Well, I don't want to steal your only Bible.
It's got all four.
King James, Amplified, New American, and New International.
Okay. Then what I'm going to do, you hang on to it, and then when I go to read what I'm going to read, I'll ask you for it. That way you don't lose your study tool there, all right? I guess I could look it up on my phone. I'm still getting used to all of that, so praise God. Those of you that have been with us over the last however many weeks and months, we spent quite a bit of time on the subject of faith. And I know it is a fact that we barely touched the tip of the iceberg. You may have thought that we dwelled way too long on the subject and went way beyond the need. You can't eat. Listen, if the just shall live by faith, how many know that every day in Jesus is another opportunity to learn how this faith works? But I hope that enough of you got enough to help you launch into a whole new level in your walk with God of faith. And so, in that, we learned that Jesus taught us that we could speak to the impossible. How many have been doing some talking? That's encouraging to me. I see a lot of hands, a lot of nods. You've been doing some talking. How many would admit in front of everybody, openly, that you'd heard this a long time ago, but you got away from it for different reasons? Go ahead. Let me see. You got away from it. You heard about Mark 11:23. And, there are some people, I don't know how many we have in here, probably very few, but there are some people, you say Mark 11:23, they don't think about Jesus first. They think about Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin. I'm sorry, Kenneth E. Hagin didn't say that. Jesus did. It's his gospel, and he is teaching us how to walk by faith. And he told his disciples, took the opportunity and said, have the faith of God. That's Mark 11:22. And then he said, and here's how this works. Speak to your mountain. Tell it to be removed and cast into the sea. Don't doubt what you say, but believe what you say, and you will have what you say. Paraphrased, okay? So, turn to your neighbor and tap them and say, you can have what you say. Now, if that offends you, you're going to have to go home and have a talk with your big brother Jesus, not Lee. Breaks my heart. Every time we talk about these things, we have a few people that trickle off and head out. It scares them to have any responsibility at all. It's so much easier to believe that everything happens for a reason. God's behind everything that happens. And so everything that happens is God's design. Tell that to a little girl that's been raped. That is a lie. It's religious nonsense. Everything does not happen for a godly reason. We are told to resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Peter said, for your adversary, 1 Peter 5:8 says, your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. James 4:7 says, submit to God. That's what we were doing this morning. Submitting to God. Your truth. A revelation of you. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many know the devil is going to send things your way to discourage you, to beat you back, to frustrate you, to get your eyes on other people, to get your eyes on the circumstances around you? He's going to do everything he can. And it is very popular to believe that everything's in God's hands. Uh-uh. God put some things back in our hands. He said, I've already paid for everything. I've already conquered the devil. I've already done all of these things. Now, I'm telling you, if you will trust me, see, for by grace through faith, it's just another way of saying, by the love of God, and you're responding in faith, you were saved. And saved doesn't mean fire insurance from hell. Saved means you became a brand new creature with a whole new you on the inside. Heaven came to earth by the Spirit of God and dwells on the inside of you. Most believers don't know that, and most believers certainly don't walk in that. But the Bible says that's exactly what happened. Isn't that something? The kingdom of God inside of you by faith in Jesus Christ. The only thing is that there are some people that say, well, wait a minute. You mean there are things that I could have done to avoid such a... Don't let the devil drag you back there. What good is retrospection? What good is coulda, shoulda, woulda? What good is all that? Aren't you glad that today is the day? Come on, can you say it with me? Today is a brand new day. Today is the day that the Lord has made. Yesterday is over. There's not a thing I can do about yesterday. Thank God His blood washes and cleanses and frees. Aren't you glad for that? A fresh new start. His mercy and His love is brand new every day. Aren't you glad for that? And today is a whole new beginning. There's a song I remember when I was a little guy. In the 70s, a worship song said, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Yesterday is gone with all its sorrow and strife. Isn't that something? And no. I don't remember how the rest of it goes. And then the last phrase is, today is the first day of the rest of my life. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, today is the first day, that's deep, of the rest of my life. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I've got new beginnings. In Jesus, what's done is done. But see, from here on out, it shouldn't, listen, a lot of people just see everything negative and backwards. But I believe, would you say one more thing? These are confessions. Remember we talked about confessions of faith. Here's another confession of faith. Turn to your other neighbor, back over or front of you and tell them, say, I want you to know something. Come on, talk to them right now. Go ahead. Say, the Bible says I have the mind of Christ. Some of you are looking at me. I'm not the neighbor you're talking about. Look at your neighbor and tell them, I have the mind of Christ. Boy, some of y'all are stubborn. Look at your neighbor and, and tell them, I've got the mind of Christ. It amazes me how we behave in church. If you were trying to get your job to be an insurance salesman and they told you to do something, by golly, for a buck, you'd do it. But how we bow up in church. Okay, so here we go. Aren't you glad for Jesus?
Yes.
But from here on out, we have the ability, by the name of Jesus, walking by faith that works by love, to begin to look at those things that tower as impossibilities, like mountains, and cast great shadows over our lives and say, you know what, it's time for you to go. And the next day you get up and it still is looming large, you square your shoulders, look it straight in the eye and say, I said to you, it's time for you to go. And you get up the next day and it's still looming and hasn't moved a bit, and you look it straight in the eyes and you say, it's time. I thought I told you yesterday and the day before, it's time for you to go. Whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. How many are glad for mountain? Oh, Pastor Lee, that's so big. Why are you just drilling this all the time? Really, take it up with Jesus. How many are glad this morning for mountain-moving faith? You say, I tried and it didn't work. Well, this isn't something you try. This is a lifestyle. The devil loves to mess with triers. But people who climb in and say, I don't care what I see. I don't walk by sight. I don't walk by what I feel. And today I'm fresh and new, getting up and saying, you got to go. And I'm going to get up again. I'm going to tell you again, you got to go. Now, listen, as we head in that direction, the Holy Spirit is faithful, who is the teacher, to begin to fill in the growth and the maturity and the specifics. Are you with me? That are distinct to you. This isn't just a formula. Talk and it happens. But you set a course. You begin a direction. You're obeying God. You're standing in these things. And you're doing what Jesus told you to do. And as you're growing in these things, He will bless you and help you and begin to feel as you're moving forward. Listen, I've said it before and you'll hear it again. It's not original with me, but it's so true. God cannot steer a parked car. Get it rolling, even if it's in the wrong direction. He'll get you turned around as long as you're moving. Open your mouth, talk to your mountain, believe God, stand in faith, and trust the Holy Ghost to say, now, you got things rolling. Now, let me show you something. Here's an adjustment here. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit will do that. How He will speak and guide, for He is our guide. Aren't you glad for that? Our teacher. Faithful. So we're glad for mountain moving faith. Now we just read a scripture that says that faith works by love. Now let me just jump ahead and then we'll come back because we're going to take some time on this. It is hard to sit around and talk nasty about somebody else and be in faith. It is hard to sit around and trash somebody and criticize them behind their back and be in faith. It's not that God's being mean and saying, I'm going to withhold from you, but He has poured out already. But you and I both know when we are not walking in the love of God. I heard the story recently about James Robinson. How many of you are familiar with James Robinson? James Robinson went through a tremendous deliverance in his life. Tremendous man of God. And one of the people that he called on, ironically, here is this Southern Baptist preacher, nothing against Southern Baptist, I'm just saying, this was his orientation when he was in the middle of a very serious struggle in his life. Had a real issue with lust. And here he was preaching, and he suddenly realized, I'm going to crash and burn like all these other guys if I don't get some help. A man who was wise enough to go to somebody and say, I need help. Can you help me? He also instinctively knew that in his own denomination, there wasn't enough power to deal with that. They didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'd tried everything. There was nothing there. So he secretly gets a hold of a few Spirit-filled guys, and one of them was Brother Copeland. Now, how many know that Brother Copeland is not Jesus? Brother Copeland has made some really goofy mistakes. Brother Copeland will tell you that himself. I remember a live broadcast in which Brother Copeland was standing on the air and he was angry because a certain conference that he was at, the budget was not being met and he was challenging the people. And the more he challenged them, the more they closed up. And he got angry and he said, well, bless God, we don't need you to pay this. God will supply our needs and glory and I will believe God ourselves and we'll get. And something unseen knocked him off his feet, they said somewhere between 10 to 15 feet behind him, knocked him clear out, nothing in sight, and he laid there. Now listen, you better be careful about criticizing a man who God cares enough to knock how many feet in front of thousands of people and talk to him about his attitude. I'd say they know each other pretty good. Yeah. And this isn't hearsay. This happened to the shock of many. When he got up, he immediately said, I know better than that. I repent of that. I'm sorry for that. That was not right of me. I've asked the Lord. He spoke to me some things, and I was wrong, and I'm going back to where I was, and God's going to supply our needs. And they had revival in the house, you can imagine. Okay? Now, I don't agree with everything I hear out of his mouth or anybody else's, and I doubt you do with me. That's why we got to always rehearse, always practice, always keep brushing the Word of God, centering it on Jesus every time we can. Amen. It's what it's all about. Brother Copeland, what a tremendous man of God. The hurdles that he's made. Now, he's come under a lot of criticism because of his message of prosperity. I think that most of the criticism is jealousy. It really is frustrating to me that men in other denominations who live very, very well in gated communities and secret out-of-the-way areas and keep that out of the press will criticize him for what he does because he openly professes Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no, and it adds no sorrow with it. I'm not saying that he hasn't gone to extremes. What I'm saying is that's not any of your and my business. We don't know what God has done or why. Just because you don't have and somebody else does. Amen. Are you with me? Somebody believes God. They put out a good book that sells properly. They make money on it. They use wisdom. They hire somebody to take their portfolio and take it to where it needs to be. I found out through the friend of a friend. This is a direct... Well, that sounds indirect, but it's more direct than you realize. Through a friend of a friend, that he more than once has underwritten Reinhard Bonnke's ministry completely for an entire year. This is multiple semis, a team of several hundred people reaching the world with the gospel. Anybody in here not heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Look him up. Tremendous, tremendous preacher. And I mean, just a powerful guy. Now listen, I'm not here to lift up Brother Copeland, okay? But I am here to tell you, be careful, because this very thing that we're talking about, faith that works by love, if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with all this stuff that we hear. And it destroys our ability to truly latch a hold and believe God. Now here's the funny thing that happened. Brother James Robinson is in a particular meeting with a group of fairly well-known ministers, and they're sitting in a big room eating, and a minister sitting next to him begins to, he doesn't realize that James Robinson is now where he's at because one of the guys he called secretly was Brother Copeland. And Brother Copeland was one of the main ones that ministered into his life, deliverance. They've become fast friends and buddies. You'd never know that. James Robinson and Brother Copeland. And this group of guys were sitting in there, and this minister next to him begins to talk about Brother Copeland. That guy, that hyper-prosperity stuff and this and that and the other. And James Robinson turned as quick as a flash, and he said, "Brothers, could I interrupt you just a minute?" He said, "Our brother right here has an interest in Brother Copeland, and he's going to lead us in prayer." Shut it down. Now, we've all been guilty of that. But let me tell you something. We're going to move forward. Come on, are you here today? How many believe you got mountain-moving faith? We need to move forward and trust God. A lot of us make a lot of excuses for why we do the things we do. And yet the Word of God makes it clear these things ought not to be found in those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? So we have mountain moving faith. We see that faith works by love. Now I want you to turn with me very quickly to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now this is one that I reference a lot, so it won't be anything new to you. Hopefully none of this is new to you. But if it is, that's fine. We'll look at it together again. 2 Peter. You can find the book of Hebrews, pretty large book, towards the back. Hebrews, James, and then 1 and 2 Peter after that. 2 Peter chapter 1. And looking at, I'm going to go ahead and start from the beginning so it kind of sets the context for you. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Look around. Look at your brother and your sister. Like precious faith. I'm very glad today for precious faith. grace and peace. Like precious faith, let me finish, with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Now, if you've been around here, you know I repeat a lot. I consider it important to repeat a lot. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge. So how are grace and peace? Ryan today was addressing the issue of depression. Now, I don't blame you for not raising your hand. If I was struggling with that and the pastor calls that out up front, I probably wouldn't raise my hand either. And the person that does, I'm in awe of your humility. And God certainly is going to do a work in your life. He'll do a work in anybody's life who responded to that today. If you struggled with it, that word was for you. Take it. Okay? But how many know that the opposite of depression or oppression is certainly grace and peace? Grace and peace be multiplied. Not just added, multiplied. How? Through the knowledge. Read your Bible. Grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Pretty awesome. And then he makes a statement that is absolutely mind-blowing. He says, according as his divine power hath given. What's the tense? Past. Are you in Jesus? Have you put your faith in Jesus? If you haven't, you're in a perfect place. We can fix that too. But if you're in Jesus this morning, your Bible, look at your Bible. Look at the tense. According as his divine power. Whose divine power? So this isn't just any power. This isn't just anything. God, in his divine power, hath given already. If you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, had a revelation of who he is, he's given unto you most of what you need to get by. Okay, he's given you the basics. You know, when Amber went off to California, and when my boys went off to California, and the first time Rebecca went off to wherever she went to in their little cars, I made sure they had the basics. You get a flat tire, because they wouldn't know what to do with more than the basics. They didn't hardly know what to do with the basics. So that's what your Bible says, right? You got the basics. You got a jack. You got a little one of them miserable little crank jacks, you know. And you got your little, you got the basics, right? Know what it says? No. Look at what your Bible says about you and your journey. Amen. Come on. Look at what your Bible says. You're not just prepared for a stinking flat tire. Are you here today? Look at what he says. According as his divine power hath given unto us, come on, let's say it together, all things. All things that pertain to life. Tap your neighbor and ask him a question right now. Say, are you breathing? Boy, I sure hope so. Then if you're breathing, you're alive. So the subject of life has to do with you. If you're breathing, just like David said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The writer here is conveying the words of the Holy Spirit, and he's saying that your faith in Jesus has given to you already everything, all things that pertain to life. Shout life. How many are glad for life today? To life and godliness. How many know that godliness speaks of how you live life? Yes. You ever heard of a godly man? We immediately think of a man in a dark suit with a really humble countenance. He always speaks so Holy Spirit filled. He's a godly man. You got it. She say it again. You married a godly man.
I said I married a godly man. He
And he looks like a gangster, so you got it. Absolutely right. If you put your faith in Jesus, everything you need for life and godliness has already been given. Read your Bible. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How again? How? Come on, help me out, people. How? How? Through the knowledge. Peter's repeating what Paul taught. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, because of this great mercy. It's the only reasonable thing left for you to do, because he's already made you brand new on the inside. Take your outside and present it back to him, holy and acceptable, just like you already are on the inside. Present the outside. Here's why. If you do that, you'll be in the place of refusing to be shaped by this world. You'll be transformed through the renewing of your mind by the Word of God. And in this, you will come to know, as God knows things, you will come into a knowledge. This is 12, 1 through 3. You will know what is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. How many are interested in knowing for you? What about the rest? Why did we come today then? How many are interested in knowing what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? So, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Aren't you glad this morning you're called to glory and virtue? Whereby are given unto us, whereby are given, he's stating a spiritual God fact, truth. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. Everything I need, everything in my life that I need to live life, and to be a representative of Jesus, has already been given to me. It's inside of me. I'm very glad for that. Now, right now, there's a lot of things. I mean, Ephesians 1 says you're accepted in the beloved. That means highly favored. It says that he has abounded towards you with all grace, with his grace and all wisdom and prudence. I mean, it just goes on and on. There's a lot of things we can talk about. But today, because we know that Scripture says the just shall live by faith, we covered that in great detail. How many know then we ought to be living by faith? Then we see Galatians 5, 6 and many other scriptures that we'll cover that says that this faith operates by love. Now, if you're one of those, maybe you haven't been with us before, or you haven't been around this as much, you're saying, well, I've been asking the Lord for faith, and I want more faith. Well, I want you to turn with me to another verse of Scripture. We were just almost there a few minutes ago when I was quoting out of Romans 12, 1 through 3. I want you to look at Romans one more time, Romans 12. Romans 12. Now listen, I pray that as we're moving through in more of a teaching mode, we'll have our times where we can shout and receive from the Holy Ghost. But how many know there comes a time where we line upon line, we need to know and grow. Because it is through the knowledge. Everybody say knowledge. Come on. Your Bible says that grace and peace are multiplied to you through the knowledge, and that everything that pertains to life and godliness was given to you through the knowledge of Jesus specifically. Romans 12. So we just talked about, excuse me, I said through 3, it was 1 and 2. Now 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me, this is Romans 12, 3, to every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man, and the original will bear this out. Everybody look at what it says. to every man the measure of faith. Your faith might be to you weak because you haven't used it. Your faith to you might not be where it needs to be because you don't know. You may not even know you have faith, so you've never exercised it. But God has already put in you all the faith that you will ever need. Now, we just read a verse that tells us that. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given to you through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How many have come into the knowledge of Jesus? So your Bible is telling you everything. Now, how many know that that should then include faith? Did I lose you? Faith. I've had people argue with me over the last couple of months. It does not say such and such in a translation. And you're taking that. It's to every man is given a measure, and everybody has different measures of faith. Some people have the faith to rise above certain things, but others, maybe they need to go through it because God has a certain plan and their suffering will cause somebody else to come to. That's all nice logic, but it's bunk. It opens the door to the devil. Are you here today? To every man and woman is given the, would you say it with me today? The measure of faith. I don't care how bad you've blown it, how far you've drifted away, how much things have gone upside down. Here you are today once again crying out, leaning on the mercy of God, saying, God, I need some things straight in my life. He never left you. He's never abandoned you. And what he put on the inside of you is still there. You need to get away from people and all the racket, get back to what Jesus has declared over your life and begin to release it through your words. That's part of talking to your mountain. You with me today? He says here, to every man is given the measure of faith. Now, we have that argument that it's A. First off, I don't see it in the original at all. Number two, even if there was a little bit of a gray area there, when you look at the overall context in Scripture, it absolutely says, listen, if the first order, I better drink some water. This is the umbrella row, obviously. It came with the split in my teeth. Aren't you glad I'm not on TV? So here's the deal. I rebuke that. Where was I at before I spit on Crystal? Did I reach her or did it fall short? She's stuttering. Okay. So at any rate, where was I at? I'm sweating now. Okay. A versus the. There we go. Yeah, this gray area. You got Peter over here by the Spirit of God and many others which straight up say, now listen, if the just first order up, live by faith. Everything else falls behind faith. Then wouldn't you think that faith would be included in Peter's words, everything? Come on, work with me a little bit. Everything that pertains to life, the just shall live. Say live, life, live, life. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given through the knowledge of Jesus. So when Paul says to everyone, so would you say this morning with me, I have all the faith I'll ever need. I just need to put it to work. That's a wonderful truth. It is so hopeless to think that maybe I was bypassed or for some reason in God's infinite wisdom, he chose that I be, you know, it's silly. Aren't you glad for great faith? Yes. Mountain moving faith. Put it to work. So we're going to learn about what that is more, but we're going to look at it now through the light of love. Now, I want you to look at another verse of Scripture. I know we've read these over the last few weeks. Just hit them, but I want to really magnify them for you today. Go with me to another verse of Scripture. And this one is found in Romans chapter 5, in verse 5. Romans chapter 5, in verse 5. So, we know we have faith already given. We have the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter, telling us that everything that pertains to life and godliness has already been given. How many know that if God is love, and He is, that's who He is, that's His nature, and the Bible says that I took on His nature, the divine nature, is what the apostles called it. Then how many know if faith works by love, and I'm going to replace grace because that's what grace is. God Himself, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Okay, so if I could just move that just a little bit, kind of give you a new picture. I'm not taking away from grace at all, but think about what great grace is. Only God and His love could do that. And we're going to talk about why that's so important and give you a new picture on who God is, not only to you, but through you. How many are interested in that? Yes. Three of you. How many are interested in that? Yes. Not just to you, but three. Okay, so Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because some of you need to confess this today out loud. Agree with God. That's what confession means. Saying the same thing, agree with God, and you need to declare today, are you here today? The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I'm glad for the love of God today. Okay? Look at what he says. One more time. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. By Fred. Fred's a good fella. And he really loves us and believes in us. No, it's not Fred, people. The Holy Ghost. The earthly representative. The one that Jesus said, listen guys, I know that you're really leaning hard on me being here physically. But this is no longer good for you. Because I got a greater plan. It is expedient, the King James says. It is expedient for me to get out of the picture. It's expedient for you that I get out of the picture. See, Jesus knew who he was. And he knew where their frailty was. And he was preparing them for a time when, although they could not see, he would make his presence known through the gift called the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? It is expedient for you that I go. Because I got to get, it's the same kind of thinking on the road to Emmaus. When he appears after his resurrection, everybody thinks he's dead. The plan didn't work. The Romans won. He was a great guy. You should have seen him heal that blind man. But apparently it wasn't enough to save himself. And the rest of us, we're in trouble. And somebody appears alongside of them, and Scripture says that their eyes were held supernaturally from knowing who it was. So he was Joe, as far as they knew. Bob. Martha. And he just, somebody appeared alongside and says, why are you so down? What's the matter with you guys? Probably didn't have the southern accent, but it was something along that line. And they said, fool? What? No, they didn't say that. But in so many words, they were like, what's the matter with you? Haven't you heard? Our Lord. They killed him. And what did Jesus do? He jumped in that phone booth as quick as you could, ripped off that suit, jumped out, Superman! Look at Kate flying in the air. You know what he did? John 6:63, my words are spirit and they're life. You know what he did? He began to show himself. They didn't know he was himself. But this himself began to show himself through the word of God. He began to say, hey, over here in the writings of Moses, you know the Pentateuch? You know this thing that you learned by heart by the time you were 13? See if they were Hebrew. By the time you were 13, you had it memorized. Let me show you what you thought it was all about, the law and all. Let me show you what it is. The Torah means instruction towards Christ, towards the Messiah. Let me show you who this guy was in your Bible. Let me show you the prophets, major, minor. Let me show you the Psalms that you celebrate and all of. Let me show you what it says about him. And after he had showed himself in the Word of God, driving the point home, then he let it be revealed who he was. And he chastised them. Chastise is not a mean word. It is the act of a loving father through the Son. He chastised them for their faith. Isn't that something? Quite a thing. He showed himself in the Word first. Then he jumped in the phone booth. Not really, but kind of. He did things like walk through walls and all kinds of stuff. So at any rate, back to where we were at. This same thinking is going on. If you read the chapters of the Gospel of John 14, 15, and 16, you'll see this whole beautiful picture that he is drawing of who he is, what he came for, why he's got to go, and what he wants to leave with him. And he said, it's important for me to get out of the picture because your real power on earth, greater things, he said in John 14, shall you do because I got to go. And you're going to do this because I'm going to send you. It's important for me to go so I can send you the Holy Spirit. I'm very glad today for the Holy Spirit of God. And he says, greater things shall you do because I got to get out of here. And the reason I got to go is because if I don't go, you're going to always lean on the flesh and blood me. I want to show you that there's a greater walk. And it's me through you by the Holy Spirit. Now, would you agree with me? That's a pretty awesome deal. This is what he said would take place. So back to our scripture here then. He's saying that because now Paul is saying by the Spirit of God, because of what Jesus did through his death, burial, and resurrection, that the love of God. So the first thing, faith. This is right in there with all things that pertain to godliness. Are you following me? How many would agree that love then, if faith works by love? I don't mean to be oversimple, but think about it. If faith is how the just live, then that certainly should be in 2 Peter chapter 1. And if faith works by love, then I'd say that love certainly must be included in 2 Peter chapter 1. So all things certainly would include faith and love. Faith works by love. Now, let me show you the heart of Jesus. Here Jesus is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to lay love himself. Getting ready to lay down his life. Man, Father, in Jesus' name, let this be more than words. Let it be an individual revelation to us this morning. Because it'll kick your faith into a whole other gear. There is such clarity and freedom when we embrace these truths. So look at Jesus. Here he is praying. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. I don't necessarily have a goal, specific goal in my message this morning. I just want to push our theme along a little bit further. Is that all right with you? Because there's so much to cover. John 17. This is a beautiful, beautiful It's so fitting, too, that John was the one that recorded it in what appears to be in its fullness. John 17. I could spend a lot of time here. Boy, I'd like to just read the whole thing. How do you extract? You're going to have to take the time and read John 17. Now, a few weeks ago, and we're going to come back to that theme, you can't give what you don't have. Now, we know that we do have the love of God. But if we haven't received or had a revelation of it, then it's going to hard to be give. It's going to hard to give what we don't understand or haven't received ourselves. You got it. We just read the scriptures. We're going to come back to that theme. Jesus said, a new commandment give I you, that you love one another as I have loved you. We're going to come back to that. We haven't forgotten that. But there are some things that I want to lay down first. I want you to look at what he says here. So we read that a few weeks ago. Where did Jesus have the power to overcome death? Where did he have the power? Fully God, but fully man. Listen, his temptation, as we said, was not token as a man. He sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. As a man, he resisted temptation. This is why he prayed. The man side of him said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Can you even imagine? I don't think anybody of us ever will be able to imagine. And then I can imagine a bit of a pause. And then again, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist called him, slain before the foundation of the world, recognized who he was, what was before him. Are you with me? And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a powerful thing. Now, here he is praying. And he says, we were asking the other day, how did he have the power to love like this? Because contrary to what Bill O'Reilly said, they didn't kill him, he gave his life. Okay? The last verse of this chapter 26 says, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me, the love wherewith thou hast loved me. Now back up to 23. I hate to just hit these and not read more in the chapter, but I've got some things I want to get to, and we're running out of time. He is praying, look at 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, thou and me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So he's talking about praying to the Father, and he is acknowledging the love of the Father for you and me. Powerful stuff. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given to me be with me where I am, that they may hold my glory, so on and so forth. Jumping now back to 26. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be, this is what I'm praying. He saw you and I. He was interceding for us. This was his heart's cry. Listen, people, don't lose this. I'm taking revelation for me. Let that be your heart's prayer. His prayer in his final hours was that the love, Father, that you've loved me with would be in them. That's pretty powerful. This is his prayer, praying over us. And I in them. The love of God. Now, I'm going to jump real quick. Can I have your Bible? And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I had intended on maybe touching. We're not going to get there this morning because I don't want to do that. If I start that, I'll have you here till noon. And I don't want to do that to you. I love this stuff. And sometimes we need a spoonful. And Lee Shaw is very good at backing up a dump truck. I get that. I'm not saying because I got so much knowledge and you got so little. I'm talking about in the time we have, in the setting. How many of you can only absorb so much? I get that. I'm the same way. I can come home and Jackie's had all this stuff going on all day long, and I've had all this stuff going all day long, and she'll start sharing me all the things that have taken place. And she can tell when I zoned out. Lee, did you even hear what I said? Yeah, I heard you. Then tell me what I said. I feel like I'm six. hey, guys, how many can identify with that one, huh? Okay, so we get saturated. So I don't want to do that. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 13. And if you have access to an Amplified Bible, I would encourage you to get one. It really opens up a lot of scripture. It amazed me to hear somebody a while back that said they just couldn't hardly stand the Amplified Bible, that it made it confusing. And I don't get that. To me, it does exactly the opposite. All these tabs you have, and they're not helping me, they're confusing me. Okay, let's see. There's Romans. Okay, I found Romans. So then that should be right after Romans, right? Typically. This is a beautiful Bible, brother. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, here's the Amplified. So, let's just stop for a minute and think about this. Everything that you need for life and godliness has already been given to you. How many can acknowledge that today? It may be hard to get your gray matter wrapped around it. And it's going to take a revelation of the Holy Spirit for you to, well, I don't know if you're going to ever understand it. It's going to take faith and just stepping out in faith and beginning to agree with God and say, I believe that it's in there. And begin to act like you believe it. And you'll find some supernatural stuff. I'm not kidding. Some supernatural stuff start kicking into gear when you were... Have you ever... I don't have time for that. I got to stop. Okay, so here we go. So 1 Corinthians 13, Amplified Bible. Now, I want to... We've touched on this before, but I want you to realize that 1 Corinthians 13 is not a definition, I believe, at all. There is a definition, and we're going to look at that next week. I'd hope to touch just a little bit this week. In fact, we're going to look at four different kinds of love found in the Greek text and in your Bible. One is eros, one is stergo, right? One is phileo, and one is agape. Very, very interesting what they are, what they aren't, how they operate, and how that three of these two of these operate right when the agape love of God is walked in by faith. One of them has no place. It's not even found in the New Testament. Interesting stuff. Okay. So we have 1 Corinthians 13. This is not a definition, but rather a description of how the love of God behaves. Now, we're going to go back, as I said, as the Lord leads. We may not do it next week, But I realize that in my effort to encourage you about the love of God, some of you that are going through different things and struggling in different areas, it could almost frustrate you because you know you've got a struggle. You know that person hurt you. You've done everything you can to forgive them. And about the time you think you're feeling good about the situation, something else happens and you're just in this constant boil. Or maybe things from the past that you have just learned to cope with and suppress, you call that forgiveness, but in reality, you're still dragging a dead man around with you or a dead woman around with you, and you're not really able to just open up the doors, talk to your mountain, and get them out of here because you're tied down. This is what Ephesians says. I wished I would have had more time this morning. Ephesians says that because of this great grace and because of this great work in you, he says, you who are in this faith of God, the just shall live by faith, he says, put off the old man and put on the new. And he speaks to bitterness, a root of bitterness, unforgiveness, and challenges us to esteem one another highly. And he's saying this here connects perfectly with this mountain moving stuff called faith. So when we read this, understand that the love of God, it's not God put a new love in you that's yours. It's His love. Would you say that with me today? His love in me. And this chapter, we find a verse in here that says that love never fails. When you don't know what else to do, there's a power that is you're more God-like when you're walking in this than you are in any other place, if I could put it that way. So here it is. 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified. I love it. He starts out and he says, if I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning and intentional spiritual devotion as is inspired by God's love for and in us, that's the Amplified. I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose and to understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge. And if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, that is God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Now, he's not saying you're a nobody and you're useless. But you know what? When we step out of our nature and we adopt our old, we try to walk in the old nature, it makes us something that we're not. You really are somebody in Christ. You really are a new creature. But when we're not walking in this, suddenly you disappear from the picture. There's no power. There's no oomph. You follow me? Now look at what he says. We're going to continue on. He said, even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food and surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, I have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. And then he begins to describe how love behaves. He says, love endures long and is patient and it's kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude or unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights. Or its own way. More good churches and church plants are diffused because of just a few good Holy Ghost Spirit-filled people that somewhere have received a lie, that I got to draw the line right here because I'm just not taking this. And it's not a doctrinal issue. It's some petty thing that you can adjust. It's an attitude of the heart. My life as a pastor is all about getting myself in a position where I can sit and listen to something that I normally would not be interested in at all. In my own setting, my interests aren't there. It bores me to tears. But I got to gird up the loins of my mind and realize that my life is an offering. I better stink and get interested right now because it means something to them and that it ought to mean something to me. And I'm going to shift gears and I'm going to smile and I'm going to mean it and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to think about them. And next time I greet them, I'm going to try to remember what it was that we talked about because I know it adds value to them what I'm talking about. You ever talk to somebody that they can tell you everything about their whole life and the minute they say, well, so how's it going with you? You barely get into a half a paragraph and they're bored. They've already answered the phone. They're off in another direction.
Amen.
Be ye kind. These things affect, you know, we're out here just barnstorming and wild-eyed. Boy, I got a hold of mountain-moving faith. Proverbs 11 says, the one that waters, the one that's given away, is getting water all over their own britches. One who is generous, God makes them fat. Easy. He's talking about blessed. Say, I'm blessed. Proverbs 11. Read Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 says, the one who withholds more than they should, when they know it, these tend to poverty. You ever met people that had everything, but they seem to have nothing? Poverty is not just what you got or don't got. It's a condition and an attitude of the heart. I got family members I've got good friends. We're going to be touching on this on Wednesday night, Christian philosophy. I know a guy in Florida that was a multimillionaire. It was all in coffee cans buried in the ground. He lived every day like a pauper. He criticized the rich. He had more, he had everything. But everything had him. I've also met people that didn't have nothing. And all they did was complain about why the government needs to even the scales. All they did was complain about what they didn't have. They were more consumed with money than the guy who had everything. And when you see this stuff coming right on into the church, and we judge according to outward appearance, we can get ourselves in trouble. How many know it's time to get a new revelation of the love of God? Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. How many know it's time to get a whole new revelation of the love of God? If this mountain-moving faith works by this love, I better find out what it is. We're going to look at it. I think it'll bless you. I've struggled, honestly. I'm not sure I still have it down, but I got a whole new look at what it is. I'm going to show it to you in the Word of God. We'll try to get into there next week as we look at these four different Greek words, what they are and how they work. But more importantly, it'll give you a fresh revelation of God's love for you. That's what causes your love to kick into a whole nother gear and affects mountain moving faith. Because you can't give away what you haven't received. Can you say amen? Can we continue reading and then I'll try to tidy this up and get you out of here at a decent time. You know, 1 o'clock. Verse 5, it is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude. Doesn't act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy. If you're hearing this today through the lens and filters of condemnation, I have blown it. We're Grace Church. There's no condemnation in this room unless you're letting the devil whisper in your ear, and everything I'm saying, it's stacking up about how far you fall short. Listen, there's hope for that. We're going to get there. But we've got to now, because of grace, be able to stand back and say, I'm wholly loved, highly favored. When God looks at me, He doesn't see me after my flesh. He sees me through the eyes of Jesus. But He wants me to be successful and effective in this life, somebody who demonstrates the love and the power of God and makes a difference in my world before I step off this planet. So somewhere, I've got to fully, by faith, receive who I am and what I have so that I can now begin to, by faith, in receiving this love, begin to expand this into this outward part of me. This is Romans 12, 1. I beg of you, now present the outside of you. Okay? So what we're looking at here is how God's love behaves. And that love is already on the inside of you. So this isn't, what's the matter with you?
Let me try this again.
What's the matter with you? Say, there's nothing wrong with me. There might be something wrong with my understanding. Oh, but great grace, He's helping me gain in my understanding about who I am. Woo, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So, don't hear this and go, oh God, I'm in trouble. I fall so far. Woo, I did this yesterday. I did this morning. Don't look at me. I'm no better than you. Ask Jackie. Okay? But there is a higher walk. Aren't you glad for Jesus? Okay. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account. Boy, that's a stumper. I hear all over the room, yes, but. Here's what the Word of God says. So in other words, already in you is all the faith you'll ever need, all the love you'll ever need. And one of the biggest broad brushes so far that we've read is that it takes no account of evil done to you. Can you say with me in church, holy cow? It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Say amen or oh me. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Marked in my memory is a single day. Some of the men in here might remember it. It's been a couple years at least. We were in our men's group on a Thursday morning. It's now Wednesday mornings at 7, but we were in a men's group. And I don't remember exactly what the situation was. I remember David James was still with us at that time. And we were talking about the love of the Father and how that love transforms us. And I said, how many of you can remember back to somebody in your life that believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself? And their attitude and the words they spoke to you lifted you to a whole different level. I'll tell you what, by the time we were done, I don't know if there were, including me, I don't know if there was a dry, remember that, Bob? That's marked. Is that marked in your memory too? I've never forgotten that. There wasn't a dry eye in that room as we remembered people who spoke into our lives and said, I believe in you, and said some things that we knew at the time we didn't deserve, but their believing in us caused us to step to a higher level. I begin, it's a God kind of love that tells a, from all outward appearances, a coward hiding in a wine press, like a starved rat, to say, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And he changed his nation and became a warrior. Do you understand the power of love? The love of God, not any love. Because if it's you, it'll the next time they tick you off, or maybe not this one, you might have enough willpower to make it through 4 or 5, but by God, that 7 times 70 thing, it ain't working. I'm going to kill you, Joker, if you do that again. Okay, so. Love bears up under anything, and everything that comes is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Read verse 8. Love never fails. When you don't know what else to do, by faith, love. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, that is the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it too will pass away. It will lose its value, suspended by truth. For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, however they interpret this, is the Amplified, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. But when the complete and perfect comes, the incomplete and imperfect will vanish away, become antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. Now that I have become a man, I'm done with childish things and have put them away. For now we're looking in a mirror that gives only a dim reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when the perfection comes, we will see in reality face to face. He's talking about when we are with Jesus, when all this is over and we're standing there, okay? Fully clear, fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so faith, hope, and love abide. The Amplified, boy, they're deep. Love, true affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for us and in us. These three, but the greatest of these, I skip part of it because it's really wordy. The greatest of these is love. How many would agree this morning? Love is pretty doggone primordial to your walk in Jesus. Are you doing okay? Would you say with me, faith works by love? Say with me, mountain moving faith works by love. You just got a picture of what it looks like and how it behaves. Now, if we can learn to receive that kind of love, how many know that we can allow that kind of love to begin to flow through us? I don't have time now. In fact, I can't believe how the time has flown by. Here's your Bible. I'm coming to you. Write these two verses down. We'll look at them next week. One of the greatest examples of this love, and specifically in the original, it's the agape love of God, is found in a verse of Scripture that's known universally in any evangelical church, John 3:16. Are you here this morning? As we go, John 3:16, for God so loved, everything that you just read was God's position. See, all of you were hearing this through the filters of religion. Oh man, he is drawing a picture of who I'm not. He is, man, I am falling way short. I'm never going to get there. Stop. He just drew a picture of how he believes in you, how he acts towards you. He doesn't hold anything. He's not given account. He's not keeping account of wrongs done. He is kind to you. Everything that is in the new covenant, he has just described his own behavior towards mankind. Amen. Through Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave, this is precious, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. Now here's your homework. I want you to look, and this is so easy. Write it down inside your flap, and we'll come back to this next week when we kick off. John 3:16. Everybody knows where John 3:16. Now I want you to know the way there's another verse that bounces off of this. It's called 1 John 3:16. That's your homework. Take that and meditate on it this week, and we'll come back and look further at mountain moving faith that works by love. Would you say with me, make this confession? I am, by the grace of God, moving to higher heights, deeper levels. My desire, according to Ephesians 3, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. Show me a new revelation of length. Say it with me, of length. Length, breadth, depth, height of the love of God. Woo. That's pretty awesome. A revelation of who you are. Because when we can receive this, we come into a whole knowledge, a new knowledge of who we are. You want to hear a scripture that's become cliche to most of the church? I quote it all the time. That same chapter that talks about the length, breadth, depth, and height says to you again this morning, now unto him. Would you turn, tap your neighbor on the shoulder? Now unto you. Here's the truth. And it starts with him. So here it is, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. You believe that? You could ask or think. According to the power that works in you. Let's stand to our feet and be dismissed. Praise God. Thank you for a few extra minutes. Aren't you glad for Jesus today? Say with me, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I have all the faith I'll ever need, all the love I'll ever need. Holy Spirit, thank you for a revelation. A deeper, higher, broader revelation of who you are. In Jesus' name. Can I pray for you and we'll be dismissed? Altars are open as our worshipers sing. I don't know who is our prayer team this morning. I'm going to remain here with you. But I want to pray for you before we go. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word that's gone forth this morning. I thank you for strongholds that are just melting away. Father, I thank you for bitterness and resentment that no longer can hang on. I thank you for grace that rises to the surface I didn't even know I had. I thank you for a supernatural love that rises up because I've heard truth today. This week, listen, this week I will be challenged. But Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're the teacher, not Pastor Lee. I got the word on it, but you're going to bring home the goods this week as I face challenges. Can you agree with that? Say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your blessing on your people. Be blessed, dismissed in the grace of Jesus. Share Jesus with somebody. Bring somebody to church with you next week. God bless you as you go.